Hey everyone, welcome to the New Insight podcast, where we interview the most important movers and shakers in ophthalmology and give you new insights on the innovations ahead. I'm your host, Viral Shuth. My guest today is Rich Small. Rich is CEO of Neurotech. If you've been listening to industry news recently, you know Rich and Neurotech are making waves in our space with the recent FDA approval of their groundbreaking treatment Incelto for MacTel. In our conversation, we touch on a number of topics. We talk about Rich's journey from CPA to CEO of Neurotech, where he and his team worked for nearly two decades developing the cutting-edge encapsulated cell therapy that is ultimately now the first and only treatment approved for MacTel. I'm thrilled to be able to give our listeners some new insights from a leader in the field that I have no doubt we'll be hearing more from in the near future. So without further delay, please enjoy my conversation with Rich Small.
Rich, I want to thank you for joining us. These are exciting times, and I was very excited to have you on the show because of, you know, what's happening, your recent approval of Incelto, and where kind of things go from here. But, you know, one of the things I wanted to really dive into before we get into that was really, you know, your history and the history of the company. So we'll dive into that in a second. Just welcome and thank you for taking the time out today.
My pleasure, and it's great to be speaking to you, Meryl.
Yeah, so listen, I know you and I have talked in the past, and you've been with this company, and I think, mm-hmm. you know, from the beginning, right? And that was, I think, in 2007. And so tell us a little bit about it, because, you know, I think sometimes people don't realize, one, how long it takes, you know, what a labor of love sometimes it is to get a treatment like this out, you know, to everyone, to the masses. And how much work it takes, and the stories behind it, and the blood, sweat, and tears. And so that's really kind of where I want to give people some insight. And so just give us a little bit of history. You know, I know you're a CPA right. by training. And so we'll be happy to dive into that a little bit, and then how you ended up, you know, here in 2007.
Sure. Let me first, I'll just talk about my background. And as you mentioned, you know, I'm financially trained. I'm a CPA by training, and so I came on board in 2007, as you mentioned before, at Neurotech as a CFO, and I was the chief financial officer all the way up until the early 2016. And at that time, the company reorganized into its current form, where we have a single investor, the Lowy Family Group. And at that time, they asked me to come on board and as the chief executive officer. So I've been the chief executive officer since 2016, or the last 9 years. You mentioned the long journey with the company, and you know that is just so spot on. And actually, we had a whole company celebration last week, and I said, you know, if there's one word to describe the company, the first word that pops in mind is perseverance. And that to a T describes what we've been through. As you mentioned, yes, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that goes into this journey. But also it's, you know, it's a reason to believe in the technology, which we always had. And then trying to find the right application for the treatment itself, which is really the magic, along with many other things like a great investor support, a great team support that actually stays together. One thing I'm very proud about at the company is, you know, we have 10 or 11 folks that actually have been here for over 10 years. And I can tell you, you know, with a startup, and particularly a life science startup that goes through a lot of ups and downs, that's fairly remarkable. People usually don't have the risk tolerance or the appetite to actually experience all those ups and downs over time, because you really need, once again, to really believe. I will say, you know, our core platform is what we call our encapsulated cell therapy. It is an implant that contains genetically modified cells, which can release a variety of biologics. And even in the earlier studies that we did, the technology always worked, meaning we're always able to deliver cells and actually deliver these therapeutics over an extended period of time. The thing that was missing was our ability to actually design the correct clinical study, which actually took advantage and actually demonstrated that we were actually protecting and the photoreceptors within the retina. And our ability to finally do that in a proper way actually has led to our recent success to actually getting approved for Incelta a couple of weeks ago.
So let me ask you. So, you mentioned ups and downs, and you mentioned there kind of one of the challenges, which is kind of study design and finding the right target. So what do you think, now looking back and looking now through the lens of the recent approval, what was one of the biggest challenges where you thought, hey, we may not make it? I mean, because that's kind of the ups and downs we see sometimes with companies.
There are several, but a real key one in my mind is that for years, because of the technology itself, or just the limitations behind technology, the FDA would accept improvement in best corrected visual acuity, BCVA, as a main clinical endpoint. Now, they would require a 3-line or 15-letter gain as kind of being clinically significant, which makes sense, except for eye diseases that are slow progressing. So for macular telangiectasia, or MacTel, on average, natural history would say you're losing 1 letter per year. So just do the math, 15 letters to show you'd have to run a several hundred thousand patient study for 20 years to even get close to demonstrating that. The real key breakthrough was that the imaging technology has significantly improved over the years. And now you can actually measure the health of photoreceptors and even how you actually protecting the health of photoreceptors. And now that's being accepted as a primary clinical endpoint. That shift in accepting that clinical endpoint was extremely important for us because now we can demonstrate and show how we're actually how our treatment is actually beneficial to folks that suffer for a slow progressing disease like MacTel.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talk about that a lot more now in terms of endpoints and figuring out proper endpoints outside of just BCVA, because we're starting to treat diseases where the vision gains may not be there because of the nature of the disease, or to your point, the nature of how slow the diseases move, you're not going to get those endpoints in a 1 or 2 year kind of study. So do you think, I mean, so were you surprised that the FDA kind of was open to this or flexible, and how much of that did you guys push and kind of push forward in terms of that ability for them to kind of see, okay, well, we've got to look at this a little differently now.
So just to kind of give you a frame of reference of time, we started the phase three program of MacTel in 2017. And so we actually spoke to the FDA, obviously, prior to launching off on our phase three program, obviously, to make sure that we had some at least some sort of agreement on the primary clinical endpoint. We worked long and hard to actually rationalize with the FDA why we thought that was an important clinical endpoint, and we had many discussions with them until we got to that them accepting that as a clinical endpoint. We are what I believe is the first company that actually ever got that type of structural endpoint agreed upon with the FDA. And now, since then, there actually have been a couple of other drugs that actually have been approved based on a similar structural endpoint. So it's another proud achievement I feel the company is. We were actually the first ones to actually kind of, just blaze a trail for that type of change of a clinical endpoint for a slow progressing disease.
Yeah, and that's why I brought it up because I think sometimes what gets buried in this, when people see a small company and they get a new approval, people focus on the treatment itself as they should, but they don't realize kind of some of the trailblazing that went on along the way. And these are kind of the stories that are kind of hidden underneath everything. So I like bringing these up because there's a lot of folks that are going to be listening to this that work for these companies, work for small companies, and sometimes don't even realize that they're making change in a way that they're not actually even, that's not the target, right? But at the end of the day, you're changing the structure and the way things work. And I say trailblazing, but you said it, right? There's multiple treatments that have now been approved based on us changing the framework, right? What's acceptable to the FDA. And I think we're going to have to keep doing that with some of the newer treatments and some of the diseases that we want to target moving forward, right? Beyond just AMD and DME. Okay, so let's talk about the treatment, right? This is exciting now, right? So we have approval as of this recording. I think last week or 2 weeks ago we
About
got
2 weeks
approval,
ago. Yeah, 2 weeks ago.
and now it's let's get it into
Right.
the clinician's hands and into the patient's eyes, right? And so tell us a little bit about who the ideal patients are and what we learned from the clinical trials as we as clinicians. Now I'm putting my clinician hat on. How do I look at this, and who am I going to be looking for to treat with this treatment?
Sure. Great question. So once again, just kind of back up a little. So MacTel is a neurodegenerative disease. It actually impacts the Müller cells. So you're losing Müller cells within the retina, which actually produces neurotrophic factors, which provide the health to the photoreceptors. And so over time, what happens, obviously, as the disease progresses, you keep on losing more and more Müller cells, which actually translates into losing more and more photoreceptors, and it impacts, a patient's ability. Obviously, it impacts their vision and their quality of their vision. And over time, it can be fairly dramatic changes. Just one thing also to mention, it is a orphan disease, and there is no treatment for it. So it even makes it even more important as far as now that we've gotten this treatment available to these patients that suffer from a disease that there is no treatment. So if you just think about it, what we're doing, our implant or Insulto actually contains genetically modified cells, which are actually designed to release a neurotrophic factor into the retina. And what that does is actually provides the environment to keep the photoreceptors healthy. And so at the end of the time, who would be our ideal candidate? Almost anyone that's actually is suffering from this disease. Obviously, from our standpoint, we feel the sooner you treat, obviously, you're protecting the health of your photoreceptors. You're minimizing the loss of photoreceptors, and over time, obviously, we would think outcomes would even be even better the earlier that you can treat. But the fairly wide range of folks, our label itself has no restrictions. It's actually for adults with macular degeneration adaptation type 2, so it's a fairly broad label. And so there are no restrictions as far as just who could be a potential candidate. But as I said, just if you think about the way our treatment works, we want to keep the health of the photoreceptors, healthy and as soon as possible.
Yeah, and I think you have some data on longevity of the treatment as well, right? Can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, sure. So it's actually a very remarkable platform. And then over time, we've been working on this technology in humans for now over 20 years. We did a couple of previous clinical studies. And once again, because what we were talking about before, design of clinical endpoints, Just really didn't show the treatment effect that we were hoping for. However, when those studies ended, actually the majority of the patients actually elected to keep those implants in their eyes. And over time, occasionally, we will have one of those implants explanted. And when we do, we actually get them back to the company, we cut into them, we pulse them, we take a look at the cell viability and the structure of the implant itself. And so the longest dated one that we've actually received from an explant patient was 14 and a half years. And if you just look at it, the device itself was intact, not much fibrosis around it. It actually looked fairly similar to an implant that is at go it that is being implanted on day one. When we pulsed the device, cut into it, looked at the cells, the morphology looked great, the cell viability looked great. And actually, once again, not that different than what a device would look like at the time of implant. So really remarkable, 14 and a half years later,
Yeah, that's
and
amazing.
we're having that type of performance.
That's amazing. And just if you're able to speak to just the surgical technique and the learning curve and maybe how long a case like this would take, so that surgeons that are interested kind of have an idea.
Yeah, so it's as you mentioned, it is done in a surgical center. It's a fairly what we described as a fairly straightforward procedure. It's the implant itself is just so it's 1 millimeter by 6 millimeter. There's roughly a little over a 3 millimeter cut that's made into the sclera at about a 95% depth, and then it's actually sutured in. The sclera, there's a three suture procedure that happens. The total procedure itself, from setting up the patient, from doing the procedure, from beginning to end is probably somewhere about 30, 40 minutes. And the procedure itself is probably somewhere about a 10 odd minute procedure. And so it's so. The one thing we're very focused on, even though it's straightforward, we want to make sure physicians are trained. We did find one of the things didn't happen very often, but a few of the safety events was that if the suture, or if the cut is not made deep enough and the suture is not done properly, it can have a little exposure as it heals. It will just, come to the top if it's not sutured properly. And it can be re-anchored with no issue, but we're also obviously trying to prevent that as best, obviously as much as possible. So we are going to and in the process of going through a fairly extensive training program to make sure the physicians are handling it properly. Just one other thing, Earl, I'll just mention, we did do a very exhaustive human factors program. And we scored extremely high. And this has taken 15 naive retinal doctors, basically just giving them the IFUs, information for use, and then just let them do the procedure just naively. And after the first time, they actually did a great job with it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So as we kind of round the corner here, you hit your next inflection point, which is now we've got the approval. What is the plan now? What's the timeline? So for those that are listening, especially the clinicians that are interested in implementing this and already have these patients kind of waiting, because these are patients we see in clinic and really haven't been able to do anything for, for the years we've been following them. How do they start this process in terms of when can we kind of see these in our hands? When can we start treating patients with it? And is it advisable to start working with you guys to get trained first, obviously, and then move forward?
Yes and yes. So so what we just set up, and it's actually just actually today went live, is something it's so we do have a patient service hub network that we set up. It's called Incelto Connect. So the first step would be obviously to visit your retinal specialist, get diagnosed for the disease, make sure that this is something potentially that could be a treatment, to help the disease. And then once that's decided, the patient can then actually sign up through this Incelto Connect Hub network, which then would take them up through the whole process. So we've set up a very extensive, beginning to end type of process to make sure the patients are being handled properly, and just going and being educated and just, working through all the different aspects of the process to make sure that they're in the system and being handled properly.
Okay. Yeah, what we'll do is we'll kind of maybe link to that in our notes for the show as well, just to help people kind of find their way to you guys and really and kind of get these into patients, that benefit from them. So we really appreciate that. Rich, I want to thank you for your time today. I think this has been a great kind of insight into the company. Again, I think this is important for folks that are kind of on a similar path, right? Working on things that we need for our patients and giving them hope that even though there's some bumps in the road, that at the end of the day, perseverance, like you said, is important and making sure you kind of keep your eyes on the mission. And I want to congratulate you. I mean, this is a huge feat. Again, this is a treatment. For which an indication for which we had no treatments for, right? And patients again that clinicians like me see every day, and unfortunately for years and years have just told them, hey, there's not much we can do. And this is something, even talking to a handful of patients in the last few weeks as the approval came out, seeing hope for once in their eyes is really kind of a game changer, I think, just in itself. And so we're looking forward ourselves to kind of proceeding with these treatments and again seeing it benefit our patients. So I want to thank you again for the time and your efforts over the last almost 2 decades with the company. I appreciate that.
I mean, and thank you. And I mean, it goes without saying how proud we are of actually getting a treatment like this, working closely with the FDA and getting it approved. And as you said, to provide a treatment for patients that had no alternatives. It is so satisfying to get that done. And we're, as you can imagine, extremely proud and excited about getting this out into patients.
Yeah.
So thank you very much.
Yep. Congratulations again. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.